that, you know, whatever is in your heart is the most important thing, the real Kabbalah, more important than the area of Avodah Zarah than even another mitzvah, because that's the whole idea, is whether indeed you are authentically Oved Avodah Zarah or not. So that's why there could be perspectives that it's Libo L'Shamayim. You know, maybe if he knows that it's a base of Avodah Zarah, and Rishonim can even ask the question, you know, if he's always has Libo L'Shamayim, so on what basis should there be a Yaharik Vayavar for Avodah Zarah? They'll always have Libo L'Shamayim. Again, the answer to that question is, you know, Hanami, and basically the problem is one of Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem alone, but it's not really a problem of substantive Avodah Zarah. So you could go very far with this idea that Libo L'Shamayim is a high standard. In other words, if you really are Libo L'Shamayim, Kabbalah Salakus, in other words, is a very high standard in order to accomplish, in order to actually be an Avarian in the area of Avodah Zarah. At the same time, one could say exactly the opposite, and that is, if you focus not so much on the authentic Avodah Zarah, but part of Avodah Zarah is the sense of betrayal and the perspective of Avodah Zarah and the perception of Avodah Zarah, so then, under those conditions, unless it's clear that there is Libo L'Shamayim, or unless he's an honest gomor and just doesn't know what it is, then you might say that everything depends on either stam or on the perspective of the anos, and so on. In any case, this is a huge topic. It registers a little bit in the Rishonim here already, tells us the Chiddush Aran, the Ritva, a little bit, but I'd say it's played out elsewhere and much more fully. The second issue is how to define Ava Meira, and more important, whether or not certain perspective on Ava Viyira isn't, in fact, a kind of an Avodah Zarah itself. Like, if you take the view of Rabbi Elchanan on the Rambam, which is that Ava Meira represents aesthetic appreciation and appreciation that this is something that has power, so it's not Kabbalah Salukus by any stretch of the imagination, but if you're attributing some real power significance to Avodah Zarah, can you still say that that's not Kabbalah Salakus? Okay, it's a good example of the issue in a way that we just mentioned a minute ago. So again, Rabbi Chanano, the Rambam, even the Ramban, who may have a preference for Rashi's pshat, but doesn't seem to be scandalized by Rabbi Chanano and the Rambam's interpretation, whereas the Chiddush Aran in our sugya and the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, authored by two different people, in one case, again, both from the school of the Ramban, clearly. Here, again, Talmidim of the Ra. There could also be Talmidim of the Ra, at least very much connected to, again, the Ramban school, the interplay between the Ran and Sanhedrin and Rav David Bonfield in the Sugya and many, many others, places in there. But they both have this very, very strong formulation that if you really believe that there is power in this Avodah Zarah, that itself is tantamount to Avodah Zarah. Very strong perspective. And as I mentioned, that should be integrated with discussions of the Egel HaZahav and so on, where some of the Rishonim say it wasn't really an Avodah Zarah, it was just a means, a sense that this is a physical representation or a physical means to the Ribono Shel Olam. But the Rishonim who say that aren't saying that it wasn't Avodah Zarah, really. What they're saying is it wasn't crude Avodah Zarah. They're not saying it wasn't the problem. They're trying to explain Aaron HaKohen. They're trying to explain Klal Yisrael. How could they have been reduced to such a grave error? This doesn't make sense. You know, they heard Kol Hashem, literally, days before, and all of a sudden they're running around, parading the Egel HaZahav. So they explain that it isn't, the crude of Avodah Zarah, but in the sense that it's treated as a betrayal, like a betrayal of Avodah Zarah, that's perfectly clear. Now again, there could be a difference between Oved Me'ava Me'ira and the Egel HaZahav issue too, saying that you need a concrete physical manifestation of the Ribono Shel Olam. Could be better, could be worse, I'm not sure, but at least the issues are parallel, they need to be looked at together. That's the second question of the sugya. The third question of the sugya is much more intriguing, and that is the relationship between the chiyuv of Yaharik Vayavar on the one hand, and the ptur, mimisa, the onesh, on the other. And that has two parts as well. Number one, if you interpret like Rashi, which is that Ava Nira means Ava Sa'adam, Yira Sa'adam, the question is, what does Yira Sa'adam really entail? Is it Pikuach Nefesh, Sakana, Anus, or is it something less than that? So that's a secondary machlokas or rishonim within the view of Rashi Udi'ime. So the David Bonfield, again, in Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, says very clearly that it must be that we're talking about onus, real onus, pikuach nefesh. Otherwise, he says, it just doesn't make sense that Rabba would say that you would be potter under such circumstances. Everybody would have to agree that that's considered Obed Avodah Zarah, and you're... There's no hetzer to be Obed Avodah Zarah just because it's convenient, or because it's annoying to suffer the consequences, or the fear of Yiras Ha'adam, or certainly Avas Ha'adam, even less so. There's no such justification. Therefore, it must be that what we're talking about is that there's a sakana. That's his view. And the Ramban here, and in Sanhedrin, but it was quoted in Sanhedrin, but it's really Ramban here says that that's not the case. Because the Ramban is worried not only about Rabbah, he's worried about Abaye. If indeed we were talking about an honest gomer and a sakana, so then even Abaye would have agreed that you would be potter. The fact that Abaye says Chayiv indicates that we're not dealing with sakana. Okay. Apparently, according to David Bonfil, Abaye could think that we're talking about sakana and still think that you're Chayiv. That's not so difficult for David Bonfil because he argues on the bigger issue, namely what is the relationship between the Chiyuv Limsor Sa'atzmo and whether or not Avar Velo Neharag is Chayiv or potter. The answer is, Rabbi David Bonfil, together with the Urayim and one of the days in Tosis and so on, is of the camp that the Tosis Rid has the Sinai Avodah Zarah too, as a Deya, that if indeed you are Chayiv Limsor Atzmacha, Yaharig Vayavar, then Avar Velo Neharag is Chayiv. Okay, so at least it could be there's a machlokas between Abaye and Rava, or some other circumstances, as the David Bonfil explains it, and so on. But according to the Ramban, of course, the Chiddush that emerges is not why Abaye is Cholek, as much as it is why Rava thinks that it's Potter. Because according to the Ramban, we're not talking about literally Sakanas Nepashos, so why should it be Potter? So apparently the answer to that is that there can be a Chiyuv Yaharig Val Yavar, and at the same time, even without Sakana, there can be a Ptur, since it's built in that there's no Kabbalah Salokus. And that's a Chiddush in its own right, that's Ramban's perspective. If there are objective reasons to understand why this person is giving in, even if those objective reasons don't include Sakanas Nepashos, Pikuach Nefesh, literally, that too is not Kabbalah Salokus. That too is not Avodah Zarah, even if there is a Chiyuv Yaharig Val Yavar. So there's a different Chiddush for the David Bonfield's reading of the Gemara and for the Ramban's reading of the Gemara. Each one is very, very important. Okay. But getting back to the larger issue, so the question is, what indeed about that question? Let's say there is a Chiyuv Yaharig Val Yavar. So will there be the consequence of Avar Velo Nehrag Chayiv, or not? Okay, that's an interesting question. So for that we have two days in Tosis, both here in Shabbos and in Sanhedrin. First day of Tosis seems to assume that you can have a Chiyuv Yaharig Val Yavar, and yet, im Avar Velo Neharag, you will be Potter. And the second day of Tosis, in both places, says, no, the case is a case where it's Yadua Lakol, that people are only Ovei this Me'abo Me'ira, right, and there's no Chiyuv Yaharig Val Yavar. But had there been a Chiyuv Yaharig Val Yavar, in Ochanami, you would have been Chayiv Misa as well. Those are 2 days in Tosis. But what Tosis doesn't do in either place is explain to us why you can have this these two concepts coexisting. Why you can have Chiyuv Lihareg Velo La'avor, Limsar Satzmo, in other words, and at the same time, you don't have the consequence of Imavar Velo Nerag Chayiv Misa. Doesn't explain why that is so. So what we found in the Rishonim is two perspectives. And then two perspectives should be looked at just, again, in light of the second day of Tosis, the Tam HaCholkin. So the Tama Cholkin basically assume that if there's a Chiyuv Harig Vayavar, then Avar V'lo Nehareg is Chayv Misa. What's that based on? So Rav David Bonfil tells us what it's based on. Namely, Avichai? No. If it would be on Kiddush Hashem, then it probably, we would think at least that it shouldn't work. But based on? On the contrary, the if you have the discussion of the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin, or most of the discussion of Chiddush Aran in Shabbos, and you compare that to Rav David Bonfil, so a clear-cut position emerges. In other words, the Chiddush Aran in Sanhedrin explains, Alechai, that why even though there's a chiyuv leharigal lo lavar are you patur? Because the only reason that you're obligated limsar satzmachas to begin with is based on kiddush Hashem, and therefore in avav lo nerag, what do you violate? Kiddush Hashem. But no one ever said that kiddush Hashem is chayiv misa. So that's, and then he brings a raya. That's the chiddush around in Sanhedrin. Then he brings a raya. Again, what is the raya? No, he also mentions that Bakal Misrapin, I think the Chiddush around here actually says, Bakal Misrapin is the same halacha. So I think it's a bit of a Kiddush too. The Chiddush around in our sugya says that also this formulation, that the reason that you're, after all, the only reason that you're Chayav Limsar Atzmacha to begin with is because of Kiddush Hashem. And he says, both with regard to the sugya in Sanhedrin Divine Dalit, and with regard to the sugya in Psachim Daf Kafei, Bakal Misrapin Chutz Me'atzei Ashera, a refuah case. He says, in both cases, the only reason you have to give up your life is because of Kiddush Hashem. Anybody have the language here? Where he says that line? In our sugya? I think I left that upset. Anybody have the Chiddush Aran here? Our Chiddush Aran? The local? No? Okay. You look it up, you'll see. But in the Chiddushim of the Ran in Sanhedrin, okay, we're talking about two different books, so here they happen to overlap a lot. The argument that is made to... This argument is put forward, namely, the only problem is Kiddush Hashem, and then a proof is brought. What is the proof? Can I remember? Yitzi? Harry? Daniel? Yossi? Yomi? Yeah, a proof from Mechal Shem Shemayim to Farhesi. But the Ran says, would anybody ever say that if a person, let's say, is challenged on the Nevel or Trefer, whatever it is, but he's challenged b'Farhesi? Right? Would anyone ever say that he's Chayiv Limsaris At? He is Chayiv Limsaris Atzmo for Farhesi. Would anybody say that him Avar Lo Nerag that he's Chayiv Misa? Why? Apparently not. So that's the argument. So again, the comparison to Farhesia is surely telling. Because on the surface, at least, the issue of Farhesia is purely an issue of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. That's where Rav David Bonfil, let's see how his mind, when he saw that Raya, that's where he zoomed in. I keep turning pages here. So I'm at Aleph on the Beis. Here. Aleph Beis on the Beis, I'm sorry. Wait a second. And so on. Ramban Pirush Shabash Omru Kan Meyura Ina Yurat Sakhanas Nefashos. Yehochim Mechayim Abaya. Hechim Mechayim Abaya. Avagal Debin and Acher Amin and Yehorig Vayavor. Hainu Shuhun Mitzuba Lov Shehorig Al Shmo Shalakadish Baruch. Aval she yaharig v'bezdin ein lanu v'yavid patur. Right? V'raya l'davar He doesn't know that something is asr. He makes a mistake in what it is. He thinks he's bowing down to the Rabbanu Shalom, and it turns out it's a big idol there instead, and so on. So basically, this is the argument, well, this equation is good. And the truth is, this is an old issue, as I mentioned. So according to the simple reading of Rav David Bonfil in the Chiddush Aran, the argument is whether or not the source of the Hari Vayavar and Gimel Averos is Kumra Svavera or Kiddush V'Chil Hashem. I think this is an old issue. Basically, that could be the issue between the Baal Amar and the Ramban. I mentioned the Baal Amar in Sanhedrin has this view that L'Hanoa Satzman, we don't say Yehari Vayavar even in Gilei Arayos, even though it's one of the Gimel Averos. He explains, after all, we find this phenomenon with regard to Parhesia. The Gemara says, Esther Parhesia Hava. The Gemara says, you know, even though there's Yahreg Vayavar, but Shiny, in the case of Achashverosh, L'Hanoa Satzman Avid. So the Baal Amor says, Yahreg Vayavar here, Yahreg Vayavar there, Hanoa Satzman was a factor here, Hanoa Satzman was a factor there. And the Ramban, which is where the Dov Bantu got the language from, says, Eina Domeh. Because in the case of Farhesia or Shas Hashmad, you're talking about a different Mechayiv. But here, the Gimel Aveir is talking about Chomer Atzma. Okay. Now, it's not clear whether the Baal Amar said what he said only with regard to Gilei Arayos, or also with regard to Avodah Zarah and Shlichus Damim. That's discussion of the Rishonim. If you look at the Meiri and the Raivan and the Kasuv Sham, you know, whether you extend it to Avodah Zarah. Extending it even beyond to Rotseach, of course, is even more problematic. Because there you have the svara, right? The Gemara says my causes, the dama, the dach, sumak, tvei, right? So it's a svara. It seems clear that the issue is chomer hadavar, not kiddush v'chil l'ashem. With regard to avodah zara, again, could you say that gilei arayos is chil l'ashem and avodah zara is chomer haveira? Very possible. At the same time, we should also note that the Gemara in Sanhedrin equates gilei arayos and Rotzeach, in terms of the Limud. So actually, there might be, from that perspective, reason to group those two together. Okay, and that's a question. In general, whether or not Rotzeach is different, it's another issue that comes up. Rabbi Shmuel is the one who says in the Sugya of Avodah Zarah and Sanhedrin that B'chai Bahem V'lo Shamas Bahem applies even to Avodah Zarah. If you look at the Tosis Rid, in Avodah Zarah, he says very clearly, not Rotzeach, Dafka Avodah Zarah. Or, for example, the Mishnah discusses this question. The Gemara discusses whether Ben Noach is obligated by Kiddush of Gil Hashem, whether it's a Chiyuv Yehareg Vayavar for Ben Noach, learn Sanhedrin to find out on the days. So the Mishnah Melech discusses what the halacha is. It's a Bible Ifshit on the Gemara, what's the Psak. So the Mishnah Melech says, maybe you could be a Chalik between Rotzeach and the other Aveirs. Yeah. So that's what the Ravid tries to deal with a little bit, Ravid and Kasav Shah in Sanhedrin. But in addition to the conceptual question, whether it's in the pattern of Gilei Arayos, which is the Mechayev of Gilei B'Kiddush Hashem, there's a practical question. Isn't such a thing as Hanas Atzmon? Hanas Atzmon is built into Gilei Arayos. What about Avodah Zarah? So that's a question. The Ravid thinks that he has a chetimtzis in which it would work. Somebody hires a hitman. He's getting paid for it. Can eliminate the competition. It's not intrinsic to the Maisa itself. Again, Gilei Arayos is, by definition, as we're, that's our next topic, right? Sasek B'Chalom Arayos, this kai of shekeinene. So one could argue that's part of the sugya, that it's built into to makolos asuros and arayos that there are beiros shel hanal. That's certainly not true in Ratzach. It would be terrible if it was. It certainly isn't. Therefore, even if you happen lamaisa to get some hanah out of this ritzicha because of your perverse nature or because of some very pragmatic goal that you accomplish, so even if you could, you know, practically describe such a case, it's still questionable whether that would be called hanah satsuman. I think the point is well taken. On the same token, whether or not hanos atzmon is defined by the anos dafka or by the nenos is an issue. The the Ramban asks against the Balamar, if what you're saying is true, that hanos atzmon is matir in the case of Agilia Arayos, so why do we say Bakol Misrapin Chutzme Gimel Averos? Right, in the case of Rapua, it's Sahanas Atzma. That's the Balamar's question. So the Ramban seems to distinguish. Ramban says, "What are you asking me from that? That's the difference between the Hanah of the Anos and the Hanah of the Nenas." And the Miri discusses that as well. But that's really true or not? So what kind of Hanah? Whose Hanah? Practical Hanah or intrinsic to the Maisa Avera? All these things have to be weighed. And again, if you're going to split, how are you going to split between Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shechus Tamid? Shechus Tamid seems clear, but as I say, Gilui Arayos on the one hand seems the weakest of the three in terms of the weakest link. On the other hand, the link on a limud level to Rotzeach makes it a little bit more problematic. Either way,
in terms of applying the concept of Chol Hashem generally to the Gimel Chamuros,
right.
So the idea, just to clarify, the idea is just that even though generally speak of Kiddush and Chol Hashem in front of 10 Jews,
I would say the scandal quotient is greater for the Chumras Avera. But it isn't the Chumras Avera which is Mechayim, it's the Chil of Kiddush Hashem given the Chumar Avera. The fact that you give in to this kind of Avera is more scandalous. Therefore, it doesn't require the witnessing audience in order to be considered a Kiddush of Chil Hashem. Sometimes a submission is only problematic, you know, given the audience that's witnessing it. And sometimes the content can compensate for the lack of a witnessing audience. But the idea would be that it's Kiddush of Chil Hashem Betzina, not the Chomer or Avera per se, which excludes any kind of Heter Pikuach Nefesh.
Right, but that can be very important. For example, why is Shabbos or other mitzvahs left?
Right.
The list.
Right.
So I might have said that according to the Chumras Avera approach, it really shows something about Shabbos. Whereas according to the Kiddush of Chol Hashem argument, then I could say, well, maybe this is a different issue and Shabbos really has the same Chumras Avera
as the others, which again, like taking for example the last, the Rambam and Perek Lamed.
Right.
Hilchos Shabbos and the Halacha of Mumin Lachot Torah Kula and so on would work nicely with that. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
Except that now we're saying that even according to Kiddush of Chol Hashem,
well, it still could be that it depends, maybe some, it, right, so does it depend on the objective Chomer HaDavar, or there may be other things, submitting in this area as opposed to submitting in another area. Does people, maybe people understand, that Chalal Shabbos Achas Kanei Lishmar Shabbos is hard. They don't understand that in Avodah Zarah. So the combination of Chomer and perception, or Chomer for different reason, could still be different. It's not just an objective hierarchical question, how Chomer.
Right. Could also be how basic it is in terms of
how basic and how much of a nicety it is and so on. I think it is very complex. I think in general, people are too. Rabbi Yochum Fischer Perlow deals a little bit with this at Sefer Mitzvah Sanjigon, but he's very bothered by this question of why it is that Shabbos isn't one of the Gimel Averos. He says, isn't it more chamor than Gilui Arayos? We don't find that Gilui Arayos is, Mamul Lechola Torah Kula, and we do find it by. I don't know if you find even that a Rotzeach is a Mamar Lachal HaTorah Kula. As strange as that sounds. Right. But you do find it by Shabbos, Kofar Maisa Brachos, and you do find it by Avodah Zarah. Because that's man's raison d'etre to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. Not to take anything away from the horror of murder and how much it undermines the Talmud of a kid. But, yes, so he discusses that question. And in general, he talks about the problem of Hadizar Kekalaka Kibakamura, Shinatan Matan with karma mitzvos. I think we mentioned last year, in the beginning of the year, we talked about this a little bit. We're talking about gimeli karim not necessarily being reflecting chomer ha iser, but again reflecting, you know, theological tenets that one has to agree to, but not necessarily as mitzvah eris. I think what emerges from a lot of these discussions is that there isn't a simple hierarchy of chomer and kal. It sometimes depends what we're talking about. If we're talking about a theological foundation, we might say one. If we're talking about mumel lechalel, you know, mumel lekol Torah kula, I'm going to say something else. If we're talking about yehari v'yabar, when you're put to the test, it's going to be yet something different. And it makes a lot of sense to me that it should be different. Okay. In any case, this is part of the general background of what's going on with Rav David Bonfil and the Chiddush Aran, and our local Chiddush Aran as well. Of the placement of these halachos, as I mentioned, you know, the Rambam puts it both in Sefer Mitzvos and in Mishnah Torah in the context of Kiddush V'Kibul Hashem. Perakei Hilchos Yisrael Torah begins called Beis Yisrael Metzuvim al Kiddush Hashem, and it ends with the discussion of Kiddush Hashem. Nothing to do with the Gemara Beirus. The ending is, you know, the Gemara in Yuma, where the Gemara says V'Hachos Hashem Alekach Ashi Hei Shem Shamayim Nisahev Al Yadecha. Right, that you should be honest in business, you should pay quickly, you should be mekabel kaladim b'sefer panim. In other words, that way people will look at you and they'll say, oh, you know, this is the Torah, you know, it reflects, honorably on the Torah. That's a kiddush Hashem. That's shehei shem shemayim misahev al yadecha. And of course, if you behave the opposite way, if you're a person of stature, people look to you, you're an exemplar, and the example is a bad example, and that is a huge filasha. And the Rambam explains, you know, that according to the stature of the individual, so too is the potential chil. That's the last halacha, that's the siyum of the Rambam in Hilchos Yisrael Yatar Perek. I'd like to point out also that, I think it's interesting, that the beginning of the Perek is addressed to all of Klal Yisrael, Kol Beis Yisrael Metzuvah Kiddush Hashem. The last halacha is addressed to Talmidei Chachamim, basically, which is what the Gemara Yuma is speaking about. Just on the Hashkafa note, I think it's just, you know, one might have thought it's exactly, or might have expected or anticipated the exact opposite. In a way, you know, being honest in business and speaking benachas, you know, being a good person, a person who reflects honorably and admirably on values of Torah. You know, anybody can do that, really. And, you know, who can rise to the occasion in a dramatic moment, you know, and choose literally to mosu nefesh Yaharik Vayabar. Rabbi Kiva, you know. Kiva said, B'hathash Shabbal Akecha. You know, Chalababcha, B'chol Nafshecha. He said he was waiting his whole life to fulfill this mitzvah or to have the opportunity. But, you know, we don't associate that kind of dramatic sacrifice, you know, with anybody. But the Rambam, based on the Gemara, accurately reflects that Yavis has a different perspective on these things. In a way, anybody can rise to the occasion. Everybody's obligated to, and anybody could. And that's something we should recognize. Every member of Klal Yisrael has that capacity of Mesiras Nefesh. It's part of our faith in Klal Yisrael and our high standards and demands and ambition for every member of Klal Yisrael. So it's really called Beis Yisrael Metzuvim Al Kiddush Hashem. It's addressed to every member, whether they all succeed or not, but it's across the board. On the other hand, the nitty-gritty, daily, you know, persistent, long-term Kiddush Hashem, in a way, is much more prosaic, but much more difficult to sustain on a high level. It is. You know, we really know this is true. So while it looks like anybody can accomplish it, actually the Rambam, the Gemara, addresses Talmidei Chachamim, because it actually is more difficult to accomplish that. In any case, the Rambam's treatment, bracketed from beginning to end, where he puts it, Perakei, how it starts and how it ends, and in Sefer Mitzvos, is all in the context of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. On the other hand, other Rishonim, we went into much more detail, we discussed this a couple of years ago, with Ksuvos, other Rishonim formulate the halachos of Mehari V'Yavar, in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, the Yireim, the Shulchan Aruch. Again, it's a methodological issue. The Rambam has opened to him all contexts, as the Rambam wrote about Kol HaTorah Kula. Right? You could have put it anywhere. You could have put it in Hilchos Avodah Zarah. You could have put it in Hilchos Gilui Arayos. You could have put it in, you know, anywhere you wanted. Hilchos Tzeiach. And you could have put it in Hilchos Yisrael Torah in the context of Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. That's what he did. By the same token, he could have put it anywhere in Sefer Mitzvot, but chose to put it in Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't have the equivalent of Yisrael Torah. And there's no Hilchos Kiddush and Chilul Hashem. So you might argue, you know, the best place to put it is in Yoredeus and in whatever it is, Kuf Nun Zion, I think that's what it is, in the context of Hilchos Avodah Zarah. Possible. So there's a methodological question. But still, the different choices reflect at least options. And the Yireim, who did write about all mitzvahs, certainly had the option to formulate these things where he chose. So that's very important. So there are many, many issues that depend on this question. The question of how you define Abizrayu, the Gimel Averos, is linked to this. What about the Iver? In particular, what about Marasayim? At Sugin of Arazar Daf Yud Beis, the Rishonim have, you know, the Gemara there has the case where the guy is bends down to pick up his money, you know, but there's this tremendous Abizar standing right in front of him. Is he allowed to pick up his money? Or bend down for a drink, or let's say he's very thirsty. Can he drink and, you know, bend down in the water to get water for the water fountain in front of the huge Avodah Zarah, or not? So in that sugya, there's the Chokas Rishonim. Even if he's going to die, even if, you know, this is the last drink that he will see until it's too late. So that's 2 days in the Rishonim. So the Ran has 2 days. Ran says, you know, this is Mar Sayin of Arzor. There's no Kabbalah Salakus. There's nobody, not even an Anos, putting a gun to your head, telling you, be over to Arzor, so that people might then interpret that, you know, that he is giving in, that he's submitting, that he doesn't, you know, his fidelity to Yahdus is not strong enough. No, we're talking about the guy's hungry, the guy's thirsty. This is his last opportunity to stave off starvation. He's bending down for a drink. So people from a distance might think that he's being over to Avodah Zarah. That's Mar Sayin Shel Avodah Zarah. So the Ran says, according to one day, in Achanami, this is not his last drink, he has other opportunities. But if it was, in Achanami, it would not be Argo Yavar, it's only Mar Sayin. And the other day in the Ran, some of the other Rishonim, is, no, even though it's Mar Sayin Avodah Zarah, nonetheless, it's Chiyuv Yargo Yavar. So again, I think I could be explained in two ways. One is that it's a Marasayan issue, a general question about the Iver and Marasayan and Chatzishir and other things as we've noted. And you can be Mechalic between the different ones. Is it an Isur Klali or is it an Isur Prati? Is Marasayan an Avodah Zarah an Avodah Zarah problem or is it a Marasayan problem? Could be one issue. And if you take the view that Abizrayu the Avodah Zarah means any aspect of Avodah Zarah, no matter how apparently minute and insignificant, still constitutes Abizrayu Avodah Zarah, which is Yehari by Yavar, then it should be Chai. But if you take the perspective that, you know what, from Abizrayu point of view alone, you know, even if it's an Isur Prati, that wouldn't help. The problem here is something else, and that is, Mar Sayin of Avodah Zarah, from a Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem point of view, might be Avodah Zarah. That's the whole point to begin with, is that, you know, it's the way that it looks. The effect that it has on others. So then Marasayin here is the equivalent of substance. Now one could even take it a step further and argue that on an actual Avodah Zarah level, that's what I was saying about Kabbalah Salakus, that you could go Mina Katzeh La Katzeh, you could go either extreme on Kabbalah Salakus. You could say Libo L'Shamayim always helps you, and because it's all about what you're really worshipping. Or you could say Libo L'Shamayim rarely helps you, unless you're an Anus Gamor, but any conscious act that looks like Avodah Zarah is act of Avodah Zarah because it's still an act of betrayal, because betrayal is defined not only by the substance of what you're doing, but by the impact that it has on others and the perception that it gives. It's still a betrayal if people think you're betraying when it comes to something like Avodah Zarah. So it could be based on that. But certainly the more you project Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem as opposed to substance of Avodah Zarah in the forefront of Yehari V'Yavar, then the easier it is to explain what otherwise would be an almost inexplicable extension to something like Marasai. Okay, so having said all of that, so now we come back to this issue. Let me mention one other because it's very, very closely connected, and that is the issue of Ne'avad. Right, the sugya in Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Dalet. Gemara has a very famous Shaka Vidarya. Gemara says, what if somebody puts a gun to your head and forces you to bow down to the big idol, or the little idol? Okay. And size is not really important. What happens in that circumstance? Is it does the idol become a ne'avad or not? Okay, now halachos of a ne'avad, you can't use that as a karban, all sorts of other things, and so on. So the Gemara says here, "Ezo ne'avad kol she'ovdim osa ben b'shogi ben b'mezid ben b'onus ben b'ratza." So ones is one of the circumstances which can create a ne'avad. The Gemara says, "Hi ones echadami." Lav kigon de anus, the anus rather behemas kavero v'shtachmela. So originally the Gemara thought the meant was that he took somebody else's animal and forced its being treated as if it's an avodah zarah. The Gemara says, "Amram brachama, lo kigon sh ansu of kachavim v'shtachmela behemto dide." It's his animal, so though Yisro ben in the most don't shen shalom. And the Anos forced him to be Ovid as animal. So the Gemara says, Maskel, Rav Zera, Anos Rachmana Patre, Katsil Naro Lissasa Davar, Ela Marava, Hakola Yibachlalo Saldein, Kishapir the Chachas of Akai Vimalashi Yamas Bahem, Yatsa Ones, Hadak Siv Rachmana, Beis Halushin Kashi, Hafila Baonas, Hakei Tzad Habatsina Habaparhesia. The Gemara is actually not so clear, but basically the Gemara has an interesting Shakavataria. In a case where you are an anus to be Ovid of Adazar, does that turn the animal into a ne'avad or not? That's the Gemara's discussion. And then Machlokas Rishonim, it seems, had a paskin. And part of the discussion in the Gemara is, well, if you were... Doesn't the principle of anus rachmana patre, well, now lasatz and davar come into play? And basically the Gemara says, well, if it's farhesia, since yechayev liharik v'lo la'abar. It's not perfectly clear whether in that case, it sounds like in that case it would be a ne'avad. Is that a case only a parhasyan? Or even betzino? Or unclear Gemara? So the Rishonim discuss it. The Ramban and the Ritva Alatar say that the Shaka Vitaria, this Gemara, is this Shaka Vitaria. The Gemara originally thought that that the reason that you're chayiv lihareg below lavar, saying avodah zarah, is because of the chomer svadera. So the Gemara says if that's the case, then it's a nebad, even if you do a bonus. Then the Gemara said, "Branchu patur." So the Gemara didn't mean we paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. What the Gemara meant was, isn't the only reason that you're chayed limsar atzmacha because of kiddush b'chilul Hashem? But really, from the perspective of the chumras aveira, you say v'chay b'hem and you're patur, right? In which case, there shouldn't be a ne'avad here, because what you're doing is a violation of kiddush b'chilul Hashem. That's not great as shame ne'avad, right? And then the Gemara, that's what the Gemara is discussing. The question is, what is the reason for Yahari Bal Yahavar? Is it Kiddush Hashem? Or is it Chumra Suave? That's how the Ramban and the Ritva read the Shaka Vitaria of the Gemara. But the truth is, we'll see in a minute, it's not so simple. There are other Rishonim who interpret it a little bit differently. But again, it's quite possible this is the issue. And therefore, directly connected to this, in Avar Volonerag, what would be the halacha? Then we have the Chiddush Aran in both places, against Rav David Bonfil, etc. However, as we already know, there's another perspective to explain why Avar Velo Ne'erag would be Potter. Not because all that's at stake is Kiddush V'chil Hashem, but because of the Ptur Onus. That would be another way also to read the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Nun Dalet. That's what the Rambam seems to accent. That's what the Ramban says. If we were talking about that case, even a Baya would say that you're Patur because of Anus Rachmana Patra. So that raises another question. That is, when there is no heter pikuach nefesh, is there a tour of amos? That seems to be an important machlokas harishonim. The second day of Tosis, and of David Bonfil, and the Urayim, and so on, all are of the opinion that if pikuach nefesh doesn't help you, if a chai bahem doesn't help you, then amos doesn't help you either. It's true. Well, narul asasadavar, amos rachmana patre. But that's in Kol Torah Kula, where there's a heter pikuach nefesh. There's a heter pikuach nefesh, there's also a ptur onesh of onus. But where there's no heter pikuach nefesh, there's also no ptur onus. That's the view of their David Bonfil, the Urayim, the second day of Tosis, and so on. And the first day in Tosis, and the others, if they don't say that it's based on Kiddush B'chil Hashem, will disagree. They will say it's one thing to determine that there's no heter v'chai v'ayim in v'kuach nefesh. Just because there's no heter doesn't mean there's no p'tur. There's still a shame on us, and there's still a p'tur on us. And that would be Shitas HaRambam, HaRamban, if there really was on us, and a large group of Rishonim. P'tur on us is different than heter v'kuach nefesh. Okay. The question is, what about Shitas HaRambam? Shitas HaRambam is problematic from several points of view. Number one, the whole context, as we said, of the Rambam is Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. Even when the Rambam speaks initially about Ovar V'lo Nerag, when he has the chiyuv of Yehareg L'Yavar, even then the Rambam initially speaks the language of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. As we had it, I think Yonah read it last time, whoever read it. Kol shonemar bo yavar v'al yehareg v'nerag v'lo'avar is a mischai b'nafsho, number one, against the Tosis. V'chomi shonemar yehareg v'al yavar v'avar v'lo nerag harez a mechal las Hashem. V'im ayasar b'asar v'yisol harez a chil las Hashem v'ramin. U bito mitzas asei shi kiddush Hashem. V'avar al mitzas asei shi chil Hashem. So the first thrust of the Rambam is to relate the consequences of this man's behavior to Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, Tzina V'Rabim, and so on. So one would have expected that to be the end of it, because, again, we never find anywhere that V'Nikdashti B'Sof B'nei Sof B'Chi, or V'Kilalta Shem HaShem Elokecha, it's Chai Misa. Certainly violate a law, you might get Malkus for it, that's a question, but we never found that you're Chai Misa, and that should be the end of the story. So why does the Rambam continue? Diachal pichein, mipnei she'ovar ba'onis ein malkin oso, ein tzor chomer she'en mevisin oso bezin afilu horag ba'onis. She'en malkin mevisin el over b'rtzono v'edim b'hasro. Where did the misa come in? Such that you need a p'tur of onus. Even if we're talking about malkis for Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, that would be fine. But where did the misa come in? So the initial thrust and then the continuation are problematic. That's number one. Number two, this is very well known, is that the Rambam appears to be soser himself. In Halach Abav, he says, Ki'inin sha'amru v'anasin, kach amru v'chaloi. That's where the Rambam has a transition from the Gemara in Sanhedrin to Pain Dalet of Yehoreg Vayavar, and Anas, and the Gemara in Psachim that says, V'kom esrapim chutz mi'atze ashera. So the Rambam explains, Misha chala v'natalamus, person's career is terminally ill, or critically ill, I should say. The amru arofim shorufuasa b'dvar ploni mi surin shabatara osalo mistrapim b'koli surin shabatara b'lokam sakana kutz me'avad zorgi l'irayas v'shvikos dala shafidu b'lokam sakana ein mistrapim mehem v'im ova v'nistrapa on shino sabdezen onish haroilo. So it's fascinating that the Rambam here, all of the Noskelim at all, but some of the Noskelim notice it, the Rambam here says that the chi of Yehoreg Vayavar applies to refuah as well as to an anos. However, here the Rambam says, if you don't meet the challenge, you get what you deserve, the onesh haroi lo. What is the onesh haroi lo? Depending on the chomer ha'isur that you violate. If you violate malchus, you get malchus. If you violate misa, you get misa. So why is there a difference? What happened to the Ptura of Onus Rachmana Patre that the Rambam quotes? That's the question. Moreover, we said before that why do we even need the whole discussion of Onus Rachmana Patre, at least on the Nisa level? The only thing that's really at stake here and on the agenda is Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. So of course, if that were true, then there is no Onus Haroya. So this is a serious problem. There's another issue in the Rambam, and that I think is an issue that bothers me at least. Why does the Rambam wait until these halachos to establish the makoros of this halacha? And so on. The Rambam already mentioned Yehoreg Vayavor in Halacha. What is it? Halacha Beis. Why does it wait till Zion to establish the basis for the Gimel Averos? Strange. So, as far as the first question is concerned, the Stira, so the Rambam used to explain, there's a difference between Refua and Anos. The difference is that in the case of Anos, Kishmo Kenhu, in addition to Pikuach Nefesh, there's also Anos. Meaning, the pressure is external pressure. Somebody puts a gun to your head. So in addition to the question whether or not you have the right to violate halacha in these three areas, in order to save your own life, b'chai b'hem, right? Weighing pikuach nefesh and the chomer suaveira, there's something else, and that is there is onus. However, in the case of refua, maybe that's not defined as onus, maybe all there is pikuach nefesh. That's how the Rav suggested to explain the discrepancy in the Rambam. Rambam says that the reason you don't get chiyuv nisun first case is because onus rachmana patre. So when he says ki inin shomer banasin kacham b'chaloyim, what he meant was that on a pikuach nefesh level they're the same. But in the case of anos, there's onus because of the anas, and here it's all internal. It's just a decision that he has to make. Now, of course, it's not obvious at all. It's a very fascinating comment. I mean, it seems to be correct. I mean, that seems to be what the Rambam has to hold. But of course, it's a very fascinating phenomenon that you would say that external pressure is considered anus, but illness is considered an internal matter. And just a question whether hetzer pikuach nefesh applies, but it's not considered anus. Clearly, other poskim could disagree with the Rambam on this point. But the Rambam also pointed out that that's undoubtedly how the Rambam interprets another issue. The Sugya in Yevamos talks about whether Gesh or Ein Kishui El Ladas. Right? So, the Rambam says that, again, Ein Kishui El Ladas. There's a huge machlokes shown in what that refers to, what impact it has. But the way the Rambam understands it is that, therefore, it sounds like the Rambam, in Avar, Vyasa, talking about the man, because Ein Kishui El Ladas, so he would be Chayav Misa. So the Rav explained again the same idea. Kishur Ladas, or Loladas, eliminates Onos. So if there's no Hetter Pikuach Nefesh, and there's no Onos, because then Kishur Ladas, then it gets Onos Haroilo. That's like Chalai. Okay. So that helps the one thing. But it doesn't help the other issue, namely the transition from Kiddush Hashem into the Chumras Aveira. So I think here one could say one of two things. One thing is that the Rambam felt that there were two halachos. As we started, we noted, again, Rabbi Shmuel says that when the challenge is leveled, Betzina, right, the halacha is Yavar Va'al Yehore, when it comes to Avodah Zarah. Right, and that's based on two assumptions. One is that there's a Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, L'chai b'hem applies even to Avodah Zarah. And the second is that Kiddush V'chilul Hashem, the chiyuv of Lihoreg for Kiddush V'chilul Hashem, even in the case of Avodah Zarah, right, is limited to Befarhesia. Doesn't apply to Betzina. And what we've seen is that some Rishonim disagree with assumption number one. And some Rishonim disagree with assumption number two. Some Rishonim say the reason that you have to be killed rather than submit in the Gimel Averos is because of the Chumras Averah, namely, Mechaibai Velosh Yomis Bahem does not apply to these three, or at least to some of the three, even though it applies generally to all other mitzvahs. It's one possibility. Or, even though that is accepted from a Mechaibai Velosh Yomis Bahem point of view, that applies across the board, even to Avodah Zarah, even to Gilui Arayos, maybe even to Shvichus Damim, maybe not Shvichus Damim, but at least to Gilui Arayos and Avodah Zarah, it's easy to say. However, Betzina, there's Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem when it comes to these Averas. Who says the Rambam can't disagree with both points? For the Chachalim who disagree with Rabbi Shmuel? The reason that the Zechi V'Arig V'Yavar is dual. Number one, there's no Hatar Pikuach Nefesh. And number two, there's also Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem Bifar Hesya. So if that would be the case, then it would explain why the Rambam begins with the bigger Kiddush in a way, which is that this Kiddush V'Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem even Betzina. The whole parak is dedicated to Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem anyway. It's Hilchos Sodei HaTorah that we're talking about. So the Rambam starts talking about Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. He transitions into a Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem that is even Betzina, because the whole context is about Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. Then, Agav, speaking about Gimel Averos, right? It also has a second din, so the Rambam, at one point, has to go beyond Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. What is that point? When he speaks about Avar V'lo Ne'arag, he didn't meet the challenge. Didn't meet the challenge. So the first thing Rambam says, true to the context, is he didn't meet the challenge. And therefore, what does he violate? Chil Hashem, and maybe the Chil Hashem Barabim, and certainly the Asay of Kiddush Hashem. That's the first thing the Rambam says. Then, the Rambam says, however, to be honest about it, this is the only place I'm going to deal with these halachos, there is another problem. And that is, aside from the Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem issue, what about the fact that maybe there's no Pikuach Nefesh, there's no V'chai Ben V'lo Shiyamas V'hem, when it comes to the Gimel Averos? So that's when he transitions into a discussion of Ono Tzachmona Patre, even on the Misa. As for the Misa, that's due to Onos. Then he says, by the way, this is where I'm talking about Agav Urcha, I'm talking about these issues, so I've got to also point out that choli is the same as anos, except that in choli, unlike anos, there's no ptur anus. So even though kiddush and chil Hashem wouldn't get you chiv misa, but there's going to be an onus haroi in this case because there's no lack of pikuach nefesh. So maybe that's why Dafka the Rambam waited until halacha zayin. This is a suggestion, my suggestion. Minayin shafil b'makom sakanas nefashos ain overin alachas migil averus elo. This is what the Rambam says. Till now, substantively at least, I didn't really have to focus so much on the chumras averus side of it. Right. Mostly, I was focusing on kiddush v'chilul Hashem. But now that I'm telling you that in the case of choli, where you don't have the protection of anus, you're going to get the onus haroi lo. So you might ask, you know, well, what happened to Mechai Bahem Velo Shiyamas Bahem? The answer is, V'minayin Shafil V'makom Sakonis Nefashos Ein Obrin Shenemar, these are the Psukim. I mean, the Psukim established that Mechai Bahem doesn't apply. Till now, we've been operating just with the idea of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem Afilu Betzina. That's a suggestion. I think, however, there's another possibility. And that is based on the following. Till now, we've looked at the two perspectives, two days in Tosas, the Ran versus the Rambam, and the Rans, plural, versus the Ramban and the Rambam. Right, we've looked at the Balamor versus the Ramban, the Sugya of Avodah Zarah. We've looked at everything as very, very, in very neat categories. Namely, there's Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, there's Chumras V'Avera, two completely different concepts. No overlap. And that makes a great deal of sense. However, here and there seems to be a notion that maybe there is a bit of an overlap. And maybe that explains partially Shita Sarabha. Why do I say that there may be a little bit of an overlap? Several things. Number one, in the Sugyan Sanhedrin, the Gemara has a suffix about Ben Noach. Is Ben Noach obligated to give up his life or not? For mitzvos or not? That's the Gemara's question. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin asks, how could it be? How could it be, says the Gemara? Aren't there only Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach? Sheva Mitzvahs do not include Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. So it must be that you're not obligated. So Kabod, Bo Mineira, Meir Valdi. Benoach Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem, or Eim Mitzvah Kiddush Hashem. Or Mavai Toshma, Sheva Mitzvahs Nistavu B'nai Noach, V'Misa, Tam Nehavim. Amalei Rava, Inu v'chol Ab Israel. So what did Rava say to Abaya? Abaya basically said to Rava that Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem is a separate factor. We don't know that such a factor even exists in the context of Bnei Noach. And what did Rava respond? Inu v'chol Ab Israel. Now, what's not 100% clear is whether Rava is reformulating the original Ibaya, or is going with it. Meaning, the Gemara's formulated Ibaya was, is there a chiyuv limsar atzma based on Kiddush Hashem for Ben Noach? So if the Rava's answer is inu b'chol Abizrayu, then Rava's saying something really important. What he's saying is a Kiddush v'chil Hashem built in to every one of the Sheva Mitzvahs of Bnei Noach. That's different than saying this concept of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, which can play itself out in any of the other mitzvahs. You can't say that in Ben Noach, there are only seven. Which basically means that Rava would be saying that the factor of Kiddush V'Chilul, how you relate to the mitzvahs that you are given, is an aspect embedded within those mitzvahs themselves. The mitzvos have the potential, b'toras, the mitzvos, to demand of you Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. That's a big Kiddush. One could moderate Rav a little bit, but frankly, it doesn't matter so much. And that is that what Rav is saying is, Inu B'Chol Adizrayu. Good, from the perspective of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, there's no chiyuv. What about from the Chomer Atzman of the Averis themselves? But if that would be a Kiddush, that we'd say that since our Sheva Mitzvahs and Tzavu, right, that automatically they demand Misa. There's no Heter Pikuach Nefesh. In a way, Tosas relates this problem. Very little Tosas, a small little Tosas on the bottom of the page. Im Toma. Avachai Bahem B'Yisrael Ksiv. Afilu B'Yisrael Ayim Achuyim B'Limsar Atzma Afilu B'Tzina Ilo Ksiv B'Chai Bahem. It's fascinating, though, it tells us two lines, but you know, packed into those two lines is a whole worldview, in a way. Right? Tosas is saying, isn't the Chai Bahem a special matir? And Eilu Chabalach, if not for the Chai Bahem, what Tosas is really saying is, if not for the Pasuk of the Chai Bahem, we would have said that every mitzvah demands Yahari Vayabor. By the way, every mitzvah that carries with it a capital punishment when you do the mezid, or every mitzvah? Probably every mitzvah. Mitzilas lulav. Right? Tkiya shofar. Never mind the machalas asuras. Every mitzvah carries with it the potential of chiyuv misa, giving up your tzelem elokim. It's amazing. Therefore, the question is, Ben Noach doesn't say B'chai Bahem. So, indeed, what would have been the halacha for Yisrael is the halacha for Ben Noach. So, what is Tosas' answer? Yishlomar didim alo itzrich B'chai Bahem, alik yehechad lo neilash shar mitzvahs merotzeach benar merasa. So, fila b'tzina yehoreg v'yabar l'kul alma. No, that's not the way to look at it. The way to look at it is, even had there not been a B'chai Bahem, what would you have said? Yavar v'al yehoreg. Because as much as your commitment to mitzvos, right, it matters, right, but not to the point of giving up your life. But once the Torah introduces that there are mitzvos for which you will give up your life, then you have to say b'chaima. But we're still not sure what the maskana really is. Because we have two, in the question and the answer, we have two perspectives here. We're just not sure which is the normative perspective, in a way. The two perspectives are that naturally, as important as mitzvos are, there's a limit to how much one should sacrifice for them. Or, the other perspective is, it's a special matir that allows you to hetzer pikuach nefesh, but all things being equal, mitzvos demand of you yehari gvayavo. And even the maskara, we're not 100% sure, because the point is, the gimel, the kamashmalon of b'chai b'hem is, go back to the what would have been the old scenario, the second scenario. And the reason in Shara Veros that we don't give up our life is because there's no foundation that we should. Right? The only reason that we need a pasuk to indicate this to us is because we might have thought that, you know, that we derive from the Gimel of Eros. Kamash Malan, our original instinct is correct, and the Gimel of Eros are the only exception, conceptually and otherwise, and practically. Or no. The idea is, you see from the Gimel of Eros that the category of mitzvah carry within them the capacity of Yehari Gval Yavor. And it's the Chai Bahem that is not here in the others. But in Ochanami, they really like the Chai Bahem. So in the Maskana, we just don't know what the Maskana of Tosas is. But this is an issue which is about as crucial, again, Hashkafa-wise at least, as crucial as you'll ever get in a two-line Tosas at that. So the discussion of the Gemara. Now, in theory, could one be mechalik between Ben Noach and anybody else? Absolutely. Ben Noach, you might say, well, this is all they have, right? The Sheva Mitzvos, and the contrary. The reason that they have these, even though they don't have others, is because these are the most foundational, most basic. Right? Or on the other hand, the other side of the coin, Ben Noach, you know, he only has seven mitzvos. In other words, his our ambition for the religious life of Ben Noach, and therefore for what he has to sacrifice for that religious life, is a lot less than our ambition for a member of Klal Yisrael. So yesh panim lechan u'lechan. You could say it in either way. There's reason to think that Kiddush Hashem is a concept, or whether it's Kiddush Hashem is a concept, or the lack of a v'chai b'hem is a concept that is unique to Shevetz Bnei Noach, or the contrary, Kol Shekein. If it exists for Shevetz Bnei Noach, it certainly exists for mitzvos of Yisrael. Okay, so we're already encountering the possibility that even in Shar Mitzvos, never mind the Gimel Averos, right, the capacity of the mitzvah itself, by means of possibly Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, or in its own right, let's assume for the moment by means of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, that's the simple reading of the Gemara, is for Yehora Igval Yavor on the basis not of a separate mechayiv, but of that potential latent within each mitzvah itself. Yehora Igval Yavor. Now, if that's true, is it possible that once you trigger the Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem of that particular mitzvah, that then, in its own right, it demands Yehari Gval Yavor? In other words, we paskin that when it comes to other mitzvahs, not only is there b'chai b'hem v'lo sh'yamas b'hem, but also there's no kiddush v'chilul Hashem b'tzino. But what about the farhesya? And what about the shas hashmad? Because normally the way that we look at it is we say, again, hai l'chudei kai, there are two issues here. There's b'chai b'hem, but there's kiddush v'chilul Hashem. What we're trying to show now is, based on the discussion about b'nei Noach and Tosis' discussion, that perhaps there's an overlap. Perhaps whenever there's a chiyuv, l'kadesh shem shamayim, lo l'chalalas shem Hashem, what that does is, it puts the mitzvah itself where it would have been, had it been compared to the Gimel Averos, or had there not been a b'chai b'hem, v'lo sh'yamas b'hem, or had it been like one of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, according to Rabbah. In which case, what we're really saying is, that Kiddush Hashem, Chilul Hashem isn't a separate mechayiv, but it brings out what is latent in each mitzvah. And one way to explain this would be to say that basically every mitzvah has within it the capacity to demand of us Yehari Vayavar. That's a testimonial to the spiritual potential in every mitzvah, as well as simply the concept of tzivui in its own right. However, since we don't view it as kind of a test, we view the circumstances that bring us into conflict with the mitzvah as one in which there's no stira to the chaybahem. And so we prefer to say, you know, chalel zman echad, you know, kedei lishmar zmanim harbe. Or another way to say it, I'll say it in different ways, that since it's not a test about the value of the mitzvah, it's just a practical clash between the implementation of the mitzvah and the implementation of some other value, so it's only when we're asked to affirm the value as a test, or the potential, only then do we have to give up our lives. But not otherwise. But in the circumstance of Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, right, so then not only does it remove the other factor, the extraneous factors, but what it does is it makes this into a test. It's basically a question, a litmus test of the spiritual potential of this particular mitzvah. And the mitzvah passes with flying colors. Yehari v'yavar. Now where do we find this idea? In the following few Rishonim, very quickly. One is in the famous comment, Tosas in Avodah Zarah makes in the name of the Smag. Tosas quotes the Smag, big problem with the Shita of Rava. In our Sugya, Abba B'Yira, in the Sugya in Sanhedrin, in the Sugya in Psachim, in the Sugya here in Avodah Zarah. Rava is everywhere. Right? Rava also is the one who says, Hein B'chol Am Yisrael. So Rava here is the one who makes the distinction between Sinna and Farhesia. So the Tosas read and some other Rishonim say, yeah, because Rava holds like Rabbi Yishmael. That in general, there's no Chiyuv Yehareg V'Yavar. Unless it's the Farhesia. But the Bali Tosas, and the Ramban, the Ritva, and most Rishonim, say, no, Rava holds like Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan is one who said, B'Gimel Averus is Yehareg V'Yavar. So why does the Gemara here mention Sinna and Farhesia and so on? So the Smag is quoted here. It's not in the Smag itself, but it's quoted in the in Tosas here. Umori Dodi Arav or Moshe Mikutzi, Sefer Mitzvah Shechiber, but it's not in our version. Because of the Sof Perik Ben Sarah Mora, Rabbi Perik Rabbi Shmuel, Lo Palagal Red Rabbi Yochanan, Alachet Perusha. Ama Rabba, Akola Yubichlalo Savde, Bein Lazar, Bein Manisa. Kishover V'chaibahem, Yotza Ones Ditzina, Mikol V'kol. Bein Mazara, Bein Mimisa. So what happened here? Basically, there's grounds for a chi of Misa, lo savdeim, under any conditions. Then there's a matir of the chaybahem, which together with the matir also includes a p'tur onus. What remains is the chi of Yehareg V'yavar, based on the mitzvah saseh. And that's the sugya in Sanhedrin. But for that, you don't get killed. Moreover, for that, you don't necessarily get a shame, nevad. This is a very controversial view, but this is what the Tosas quotes in the name of the Smag, that basically when you have Chilul Hashem, that returns Losa of Deim to a situation where there's no heter v'chaybahem. So you don't only have the chi of limsor satzmo, but you have the chumras v'aveira too. How could that be? Two different things. But in light of what we just said about the Noach, the discussion in Tosfos, that's I think what the Smag is saying for Rava. He's saying b'farhesia neutralizes v'chaybahem. It's not a v'chayb in its own right. And since that's true, you're back to Lo Savdeim without any p'tur of Pikoch Nefesh, possibly no p'tur of Anus either. Not sure about p'tur Anus. But the truth is, it's not only one peculiar Smag, it's also some other Rishonim. The Tosas Rid. This is already at least about Gimel Averos. Once you say this about Gimel Averos, you could leave it with Gimel Averos, or in theory you could extend it to other mitzvahs. So the Tosfos read it, Avodah Zarah, and the Ritva, actually, the Avodah Zarah, both. Might try to stick it into Tosfos, I just don't think it's clear in Tosfos. Say, what will happen according to Rabbi Shmuel? That's not Rava. Or let's say Rava held like Rabbi Shmuel. Tosfos right here says that Rava svira like Rabbi Shmuel, who says that Bitzina there's no chiyuv yaharig v'yavar. Not like the Smog. Not even as a mitzvah saseh. Not even as a lechatchila chiyuv. So yavar v'al yaharig. So he says, but what happened? Rava svira like Rabbi Shmuel. By the way, he says, the Rava of our sugya, Ovid Me'ava Me'ira, also is like Rabbi Shmuel. Again, Tosfos considered that possibility, if you recall. Tosfos, how could it be that Rava will say your patur? What about Yaharig V'Yavar? Tosfos, don't think that Rava holds like Rabbi Shmuel. It's not true. Tosfos read in Avodah Zarah says, Rava holds like Rabbi Shmuel. But if Rava holds like Rabbi Shmuel, so what's going on? How can it be a Ne'ava? Rava is like Rabbi Shmuel. Yavar V'Yaharig. The Gaber would say, "Ah, Chamar Rava Hasam Yaharik Ba'Yavar Apilu Betzina Nefesh Mipnei She'ain Docha Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh." That's what I mentioned before. Namely, that's about a Zara. But even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that when it comes to Rav Tzeach, this is a Chomer Suaveh. But then when the Gemara gives the answer about Nevad, Lo Kasha Kam Betzina Kam Befarhesia, so Tosfos says, "Umay De Pligia Ba'Yav Rava Beperik Dalad Nisos Oved Me'av Oved Zara Me'av Miyar Gemara Too Abaya Damar Aliba De Kula Alma." The Rava Marpatzer, which is like Rabbi Shmuel, against Tosfos. The Kasavar ki hechad ba'onas misa patar who adin me'ava me'yira. The kozeh who betzina. Aval befarhesia afilu ba'onas misa chayiv v'havin nevad. So Tosfos Rid and the Ritva in Avodah Zarah both say that even if you hold that normally, Bitsina, this Pikuach Nefesh is V'chaibah and V'losh Yamas V'hem, and you are not obligated Limsor Z'atzmacha. However, when it comes to Farhesia and your Chayiv, that determines not only that your Chayiv Limsor Z'atzmacha, but it creates a Shem Nevad as well. The Rambam also paskins that there's a Shem Nevad. Either the Rambam says, Kiddush V'chil Hashem. So now getting back to the Rambam, I think everything becomes clear. Again, one approach to the Rambam is simply to say the Rambam believed that there were two halachos. That also solves all problems. There's a Chumras Vavera component, and there's a Chilul Hashem, Kiddush Hashem component. I always begin with the Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem emphasis. The answer is that's because of the context. But according to what I'm suggesting now, it could be that beyond that, the Rambam holds like the Tosfos Rid, like the Ritva, like the Smag, like this discussion of Rava and possibly a certain perspective on Tosfos about Bnei Noach, namely, that we do not have two completely different concepts, but that Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem is able to energize, right, the Chiyuv, Yaharig V'Yavar, within particular Averos. Now, again, you could say it's limited to the Givul Averos. That's a place to draw the line. Just as I said, you might say Shemitz Bnei Noach only, or Kol Shekain. So too, you might limit this might be the Pshat in the Givul Averos. Or you might say, that's, in light of all this, the line of Rav David Bonfil and the Ran becomes especially interesting. What did Rav David Bonfil say? No one is ever going to tell you that when there's a Chiyuv, Lihoreg, Velo lavor, because of Parhesia, right, that Imovar velo nerag, that you're going to be chayiv misa, right, so too in the Gimel Averos. So what if David Bonfil answer him? That's ridiculous. You can't make a comparison between those two. In one case, Hayav is kiddush v'chilul Hashem. In the other case, you have Chomras v'Avera. But now, in light of what we're suggesting, which I think is a minority view of the Rishonim, but a significant minority in a way. So what we're suggesting is, the original Raya of the Ran isn't such a Dabar Pashut. And even if it is a Dabar Pashut, it still could be that the Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem is precisely what triggers the Chumras Averos, at least in the Gimel Averos. So then what the Rambam does makes a lot of sense. The Rambam begins with Kiddush Chilul Hashem. That's what you need. Without that, the Chai Ben Velosh Yomus Pahem, or at least Onus, will apply even to the Gimel Averos. And the Rambam explains that in a situation where Avar Velo Nerag, so you do violate Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem. And that in turn triggers the Chumras Avera. However, Afa Pichein, even though there's no Hetzer Pikuach Nefesh, there still is a Ptur of Anus. And that's Poter Yumi Malkus Umi Misa. Then the Rambam turns to the next issue, and he says, but of course, Pikuach Nefesh, namely Refuah, there you don't have the Ptur Anus. There you only have the Kiddush and Chilul Hashem, which triggers the Chumras Avera. In that case, you get the Iser or the Onesh Hamor. Let me just say one thing about Hanukkah, since it took longer than I expected, but we'll start tomorrow with the Besasek issue. But again, I think this perspective is very important for Hanukkah, because in a way, it underpins, you know, the justification for the revolt of the Chashmonaim. In a way, what they tried to impose upon Klal Yisrael was precisely to remove the outlet of Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. And the concept of Shas Hashmad, which is what the Ram begins the Chanukah with, is really the concept that Mitzvos contain this potential, tremendous potential. Each and every mitzvah has Ratzon Kadosh Baruch Hu L'Zakus Yisrael L'Pikachim Bem Torah Mitzvos. Not only many, but each and every one. And in a sense, when you cut that off, you know, you cut Klal Yisrael off from their spiritual foundation. So it's not just a nicety or some extraneous mechayev of Yehoram Vayavar, but the mitzvahs themselves demand this response. And maybe that could be why it is that, again, everybody, you know, when they talk about Hanukkah, so they make this very, very clear distinction between the neis of the Milchama and the neis of the Pachashemen. Again, ki'ilu, there's no connection between them, and the Gemara emphasizes the Pachashemen, and the Halanisim emphasizes the Milchama. It's absolutely true, sort of the different emphasis. But there are problems with all of this. The Gemara definitely focuses on, according to Rashi at least, on Alanisim as well. Kiva'um, v'asa'um, yamin tovin, b'hal v'hodo. According to Rashi, the hodo really means Alanisim. So it's strange that the Neis Pach Shemen is the foundation for the Alanisim. And in the other direction, I mean, what does Alanisim have to do with anything if everything is really about the Neis of the Pach Hashem? And even in Alanisim itself, you know, because people focus on the Muhamma and they note the absence of the miracle of the Pach Shemen, so they often overlook the fact that at least the Hadlakas, Neiros, Bechatzros, Kachecha is the final point in Alanisim. But I think, you know, if you have the perspective that the reason that they went to war, in a way, was to salvage the opportunity to do mitzvahs. It was basically flowed from the concept of Yehoreg Valyavar of Shas Hashmad, which said that under these conditions, and kind of different explanations of how that works, under these conditions, every mitzvah kala becomes the equivalent of Avar Zara, as a test of faith, or because under these conditions, you can no longer say B'chai Bohem. Because to say B'chai Bohem is to say that not something is more urgent, or there's no real clash, and therefore it's better to, you know, to fight another day, or to be here to observe another day. But under these conditions, it's to say that the reason that you're giving in is because the mitzvahs are inadequate as expressions of the Avodas Hashem, or the tzibui is inadequate to demand the response of Yehoreg Vayavar. And at the time of Shas Hashmad, right, when that is the issue on the table, so then you have to step up and you have to make the statement that even mitzvahs kalos deserve Yehoreg Vayavar. So if this is the reason for the revolt, for Klal Yisrael putting themselves in physical jeopardy because of this spiritual commitment that they had to Kabbalah's all mitzvahs, in addition to Kabbalah's Malchus Shemayim, then in a sense, the military victory, when you consider the reason for putting themselves in the situation where they needed it, and the Neis Pach Shemen, or more important, the ability immediately to translate that military victory into a commitment to Maisa Mitzvos, without delay, L'chatchila, are really part and parcel of the same thing. So according to Rashi, even though the Alanisim don't mention the Neis Pach Shemen, the Neis Pach Shemen and the Alanisim are two sides of the same coin. And according to the Rambam, the background of the military campaign is the background of the background, which is the Neis Pach Shemen, which is the background of really the mitzvah of Neir Chanukah. But again, the main focus is on the Maisa Mitzvah that one does to express the Hal of the Hodah on this particular day. So in a sense, if you have the perspective that Yoharik Vayavar merges Chumras HaAveira with Kiddush V'Chilul Hashem, then I think we can more fully appreciate why it is that Chanukah are Yimei Yom Tov, also Yimei Hallel, and even Yimei Hodah. Okay, we'll stop here. As I say, tomorrow we want to get through as much as we can on the issue of the Sasek, so please be as prepared as you possibly can be. Can we make this year earlier tomorrow, actually? Are people prepared already? Can we? Can we make this year at 11:30? Or is the room being used, or what happens here on the... Did something like Twersky use this year? When does he use it? When?
11:30 to 12:30.
Okay, so can we make this year 12:30 at least? I'll try to finish earlier. Right? Sorry, 12:30.
At 12, the base mentorship.
Oh, so maybe we'll go there. Okay, so if we could... It becomes open at 12?
Usually people finish months at 12 in the base mentorship on the third floor.
Okay, so let's have tomorrow then at 12. Because for various reasons I have to run somewhere tomorrow. So it's if we can make sure it's 12 tomorrow, that would be better. So I guess if this room is not being used, if this room is not being used at 12 o'clock, then we'll go to this one, the Midrash, the one right here.